Master Shooter Collectibles Mega Gun Test Shot Picks, Generation Stepper, Reveal the Shield Wind Charger in stock at TCC Store. You're listening to the Geekzistence Family Podcast Network.
Now, all we need is a little energon and a lot of luck.
So welcome to Geekzistence Transformers.
I be your host, Eggleg Fearful, and with me be...
Spooky Grabbit and Calvatron.
I'm going to say I remember when I first got into collecting.
Brother calls! Hello once again to Geekzistence Transformers, episode number 23, recorded April 21st, 2011. I am your host, Weird Wolf, along with Insane Galvatron. Hello, IG. Tell me, what is your excuse?
Sir, excuse for what, sir?
I'm asking the f***ing questions here. Can I ask you a question one more time?
Sir, yes, sir.
Well, thank you very much. What is your excuse?
These are my peeps. There are many like them, but these are mine. They are my best friends.
We've been watching Full Metal Jacket, haven't we?
Yes, I watched it last night for the first time ever. I know that, as shocking as that is, I'm 33 years old and never seen it, and so I decided to watch it. And I have to admit, the drill sergeant made me laugh heartily, and so I had to think of him as I was eating peeps.
Yeah. Well, that you're right, that is an old movie, but being a war movie buff myself, that's one of my favorites. Not just for the comedic boot camp first half hour of the movie, but the intense action in the and drama in the second half. I just love that movie. It stands the test of time very well, in my opinion.
Well, also, it's coming up on Easter.
You're eating peeps.
And I'm eating peeps. You can probably hear me chewing because they're very sugary. But that's my excuse. I'm eating peeps during the podcast because it's that time of year.
Well, we're going to try some different things. We kind of switched up the intro a little bit. We're going to try to do it that way from now on, kind of give it a little more professional sound. And we're going to do something a little different tonight.
One peep down, four more to go.
For the first time, officially, we're going to do a live opening of a figure that we both, Insane Galvatron and I both received. He actually has had his for a while, but just hasn't opened it for one reason or another. And I received mine today, and we're going to do a live opening here and talk about our initial thoughts of Reveal the Shield Solar Storm. I'll get it out here in a minute.
It really shouldn't
Reveal
even be
the Shield
there.
Solar Storm Grapple.
Yeah, you were getting tongue-tied over the Solar Storm. That shouldn't be there. It's just Grapple.
It's just Grapple.
Yeah, but the reason I have not opened mine yet is, and I tend to do this a lot with repaints, it's stuff I want for my collection. But if it's a mold I've already opened and played with, I don't get in any hurry to open the repaint. I think my Dirge and my Thrust are both steel sealed because I've already opened Ramjet. You know, Grapple has stayed sealed until tonight because I've already had Inferno. So, that's a bad habit of mine.
We're going to open Reveal the Shield Voyager class Solar Storm Grapple tonight. We did a live opening once before, but due to a recording error on, it was a program error on Insane Galvatron's part, we lost his audio. I can't remember what episode it was. It's probably way back on.
It was when I got Retgar, because that's the toy I was opening. Because he had just shown up that day, and I hadn't had a chance to open him yet, because that was a new mold. I would have opened it immediately. But, I mean, it showed. I came home from work. It was waiting on me, and then I came to record the podcast, and you suggested, hey, let's open it on air. And I had gone from using my laptop to do the recording, so using my desktop, just because the mic connection was a little better, and it wasn't, the other one was getting glitchy. And so I had to install Audacity on this computer, and I had the beta version on my laptop. On the desktop, I installed the previous version, which I would assume would have been more stable, but every time I tried to record on it, it would crash, and that was the first night using, you know, the desktop and that software. And sure enough, we did the whole podcast, and at the very end, you know, I hit stop, and the program just froze.
Yeah.
And never
so unbreached. Our live live opening kind of crashed and burned with that. So this will be hopefully unless something similar happens tonight. This will be our first live opening on the podcast. So we'll apologize ahead of time for the loud crackling and popping. I'm sure you'll hear. If I need to duck it in post edit, I'll try to. But you know, hopefully it'll be a little bit fun for both us and you, the listener. So kind of stay tuned for that. Got some great stuff to talk about today, or tonight. We'll also be talking about Transformers Prime episode Predatory in our Transformers Prime discussion at the end of the show. So we'll stay tuned for that.
I'm starting peep number three.
And Insane Galvatron will have to go poop sometime during this podcast because he's so full of sugar. So,
hey, that's only diabetics.
But
I may have to run some laps, though.
Without further ado, let's move on to the rest of our podcast.
Time now for our
eBay item of the week. This week is arguably one of the or the most rare of Transformers that you can find or not find. The Generation 1 Japanese Target Master Art Fire. He was released very late in G1, released only in Japan, and coming across one of these guys, he was up there with Stepper before Stepper was reissued as Ricochet here in the United States, and in the TFC reissue box reissue collection. Now it's down to Art Fire as being one of the rarest Transformers to obtain.
Yeah, I think Stepper is still rare as far as an original G1.
Well, original, yeah.
Yeah, it's just his desire. I mean, he's not as sought after because people can just pick up the reissue.
Yeah, Art Fire, he is actually a repaint and slight retool of Generation 1, the 1984-85 Autobot Inferno.
Peep number four.
So, without your mouth being full, you want to talk to us a little bit more about Art Fire here, this auction?
Yeah, what I think is strange is Stepper and Art Fire both were released, and they were given the Target Masters for Scourge and Cyclonus because they didn't get Target Master Scourge and Cyclonus in Japan. And I think it's strange because, you know, Hasbro took some Season 3 toys, remolded them to make them Target Masters. And Takara decided, well, instead of just going ahead and using those guys, we're going to go all the way back to Season 2 to get some guys to remold and give those same Target Masters to. It was almost like the big push was on the little Target Master figures themselves, but the two companies differed on what old toys they were going to reuse to use them on, which was very strange. But this is one of those things I would love to see reissued because I would love to have one just to display him next to Stepper.
Almost definitely. Most definitely.
And we know the molds, well, I don't know about the Target Master mold, but we know for sure the Inferno mold still exists because they reissued him and Grapple both during the commemorative series. And I think they were in the Takara book style reissues as well. At least I know Inferno was.
Inferno was, yeah.
So the toy exists. It's just a simple repaint. More than likely, they have the tooling for the Target Master. I guess, or at least for the hole for the Target Master to plug into on Inferno, the only complication I can possibly see would be that the mold for the Target Master himself is gone. Otherwise, I don't know why we didn't get this, but I would love to have one, but I'll never own a vintage one for the very reason of the price of this one. Now, granted, we already mentioned how rare these guys are. I mean, Stepper, before he reissued, he was one of those holy grails more sought after than a Fort Max. Because at least Fort Max was somewhat obtainable. I mean, there are plenty of Fort Maxes on eBay right now. Stepper was one of those things where he like never showed up. And when he did, it was like everybody that wanted one, it would go through the roof. Until the reissue. So they're that rare. I mean, they hardly ever show up. So to find a mint and sealed box specimen is extraordinary. I mean, and that's what this is. This auction, the item number, I don't think we mentioned it yet, is 3802. 9136-0672. just type that into the search bar on eBay to pull this auction right up. And, yeah, the buy it now price is $4,000.
Which, you know, given the rarity of this figure, I can understand that price.
Yeah, it's astronomical to think that much for a toy, but it is. I know a lot of times we like to put these auctions on here for item of the week that are ridiculously high, so we can kind of make fun of them. From a monetary standpoint, just looking at the amount of money for a toy, yeah, this is just as ridiculous. But as you said, it's one of the few cases where it's justified because this toy is that rare. Especially sealed. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a sealed one before.
This quite possibly could be the only sealed specimen of Arcfire. Given how rare this figure is, it could be the very... the only one in existence. I mean, I'm not going out on a limb to say definitely this is the only one, but it is very likely. Like I said, this figure was never released in Europe or the United States. It was Japanese only, at least in these colors. If you've never seen Arcfire and you're familiar with the Generation 1 Inferno mold, just think Inferno with some red, but mainly white in color. He has some Japanese kanji-style stickers on the side, and he comes with the Target Master that was with Cyclonus, I believe, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. No, this was the one that was a Scourge. This was Fracas.
Oh, this was Fracas. Okay.
Yeah, the one that came with Cyclonus was the one that was released with Stepper.
Okay, okay. Arcfire, extremely rare, highly sought after. $4,000 price is very ridiculous if you don't have that kind of money to spend. However, if you had it to spend, it would be very worthwhile because I'm sure simply for the rarity of this toy, it is very worth the $4,000.
My luck, I would buy it and then it would get reissued next week.
Yeah, that would be the only thing that would destroy the value of this. But, you know, even if it was reissued next week, there's chances that you know, it may only knock $1,000 off the price.
Peep number five.
That's very distracting.
Sorry, I just got to update this. I'm going through the peeps.
Arcfire, I mean, I would love to have Arcfire, but... I'll wait for a reissue if ever there is a reissue. Now, I would love to see, you know, we're going to talk about a new one here shortly, Master Shooter Collectibles. But there's all kinds of third parties out there that are making like third-party accessories, such as Target Masters. I would love to see like a Classics Inferno painted up like Arcfire, whether it be officially or custom. I'd like to see one painted up like Arcfire and then a third-party Target Master release. That way you could have a Classics Arcfire. That would be so awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wouldn't be that hard to replicate an Arcfire if you wanted one. Just, you know, get a G1 Inferno in decent shape and, you know, a little white paint.
Even a Classics Inferno.
Well, I mean, for if you wanted a G1 one just as a stand-in, it wouldn't be that hard to make because it is just Inferno with some white.
It'd be really hard to duplicate the stickers unless Repro Labels has it, but I highly doubt it because they actually have to. They reproduce the labels based on existing samples that people can send them. I don't see people sending them samples of Arcfires.
You're probably right.
Stickers,
but at least it's not like Stepper and Arcfire had completely unique Target Masters. You know, I mean, because if you did want to try to custom make your own figure, you know, getting the Target Masters for them, at least from the G1 ones, you just have to find Scourge and Cyclonus as Target Masters. You know, in this case, it'd be Scourges. But as far as classics go, yeah, that would be neat too. It's the only problem with that is Inferno, Universe Inferno, has turned out to be quite the rare figure. And because he is such an awesome figure, you know, I guess it's because he was a late wave release. He just didn't get distributed as widely as some other Universe toys. And being such an awesome toy, he's got a lot of demand. So, I mean, I don't think you can get one for under $50.
Well, I picked one up, about a month and a half ago at a comic shop for about $25. But
oh, yeah.
I really lucked out. Yeah, I really lucked out with that one. But there it is, Artfire, one of the rarest Transformers ever. Can be yours for $4,000 with free shipping. The seller is Ministry of Toys, has a 99.5% positive feedback, and they are located in Malaysia. They accept PayPal, so if you've got the money, then they've got the merchandise. So if
I don't have that kind of money.
No, I don't either. But
if I did, I got better things to do with it.
If you're through eating your peeps,
actually, I just finished the last one. Yes.
Fantastic. Let's move on to our live opening in the Ouch My Wallet segment.
Now it's time for
Ouch My Wallet.
Alrighty, we're beginning our live opening here. I've got mine poised with a knife here, a Leatherman, and I'm getting ready to cut the tape on Solar Storm Grapple.
I've actually already cut the tape and slid the tray out of the box. I just now got to cut through the stupid plastic ties.
You're getting ahead of me then. So
sorry.
I was going to talk a little bit about it since this is an audio podcast. Describe a little bit about this toy. He's in the Reveal the Shield line, as you may well know from our many discussions on this podcast. Reveal the Shield is pretty hard to find in most areas of the country. And both Insane Galvatron and I, we had to go through the online route to pick up Solar Storm Grapple. And that seems to be about the only way you can pick him up. I'm sure there's people that's actually found him at retail, but I haven't been so lucky.
Yeah, and I don't think there's very many people. They're you know, few and far between. It's suffering from the same problem that Inferno suffered from. He's a late wave toy for this, you know, this gold box line, and you know, stores were so gluttoned on, you know, the Hunt for the Decepticon stuff. Reveal the Shield has been a trickle at best, and I think it's mostly just been deluxes. I don't think they're. Well, I know Legends and Scouts haven't been spotted anywhere in the U.S., and I'm not sure if Voyagers have.
I haven't seen any.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any reports. As far as I know, everybody that has these guys are getting them from, you know, Hasbro Toy Shop or Big Bad Toy Store. And they've been getting them because I guess they've been ordering these waves. So they've actually been, you know, sent to them. And, you know, and so quite a few people are getting them because they're getting a pretty good stock on the online store. So it's just a matter of catching them in stock so that you can order them. And I almost have him freed from the plastic prison.
Yeah. Seems like every time I think I've got him free, there's one more part that...
Oh, yeah, I got one more stupid
down here on the crane.
There's one kind of hidden, goes around behind his head. Or it goes by in front of his head and then over his shoulders.
I got that one. I'm trying to get the one on his crane.
Okay, that's the one I missed, was the one around his neck. I'm attempting to get it now.
Got it. And he is free! He is free from his prison!
I should have got fingernail clips for this. That's what I usually use. I'm trying to do it with a knife, and my knife isn't that sharp.
I'm using Leatherman here, so it's got a pair of little snippers on it here. So.
Ah, now mine is free.
Yes. Alrighty, I've got mine free. He's a little bit looser than I expected. Of course, the crane arm, it works. I've got my Classics Inferno here, so I can stand them side by side, and initially, I can tell you that... just noticing off hand, he's got a totally new head. The forearms are totally new. The crane is totally new.
I think some of the panels that form his vehicle mode are new as well. Yeah. Like the ones on his arms and the back of its arms.
The feet are totally new. They're remolded.
Which is kind of an odd part to remold since, I mean, how many people are going to notice that?
Yeah. I'm going to turn it around backwards here.
This now makes my third version of this mold.
Third version?
Yes. What was
the first version?
The first was Inferno.
Yeah.
The second is the G2, was it Pyro?
Oh, Pyro. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
It's in the box set from last year.
I didn't get the box set last year at BotCon, so I'm set Inferno over here. Well, kind of like the light pipe on Grapple's eyes here. It's pretty nice.
The only thing I don't like about this toy, I knew this from looking at pictures, because I remember the, you know, Inferno, okay, he had the water squirt thing on the back of the vehicle mode. It ended up on his arm in robot mode, which is fine because Inferno kind of had, he didn't even have a hand at all. He had just the squirt thing on his arm. So that kind of worked. Mm-hmm. But Grapple here ends up with a crane on his arm, and that doesn't work as much because, you know, the crane should be on his back.
Yeah. I wish he could actually remove it.
Well, I saw a mod that someone had done. It looked, if you have a Junker G1 Grapple, it's the same color plastic. You can take the little thing that his crane was attached to, and I think you only have to drill like one little hole in this black panel on his back, and then you can attach that to this guy. So it'll not only can you then take this crane and attach it to that piece so that the crane will be on his back, but it'll also allow him to have like the collar thing around his head that the original toys had that was also in their animation models.
Oh, sweet.
And it did make a noticeable difference in the appearance of the toy.
So, okay, I am trying to convert it here. Without instructions, I have not transformed the Inferno mold in a while, so I'm a little bit lost at it.
Lots of panels.
Get his legs turned around here. I like the color of orange, though. It's a pretty color orange. Got that, like, construction neon orangish color here.
Almost like he would glow under a black light.
Oh, wow. His arm just popped right off here. I'm swinging it around. There we go. Pops right back on. What did I do wrong? Oh, okay. Forgot that panel.
You did everything wrong.
Huh?
You said, what did you do wrong? I said, you did everything wrong.
I was born. That was the first thing I did wrong.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I just need to go back in the womb.
You know, that's funny. That's a man's mission in life. You know, you spend 9 months trying to get out and the rest of your life trying to get back in. Okay, I've got that line from Look Who's Talking, but still, it's funny.
Okay, he's not fitting together copacetic here. Now that swings around like that. That like
I actually
that.
Have the rear end of the vehicle transformed. I just need to get these side panels in place.
And I am done. Oh, neat. The only thing I really don't like about the vehicle mode, and this is the same with Inferno, is that you got the clear plastic windows on the front, which look great, and then you have silver painted-on windows behind those. I'd rather them just not even have windows painted on there at all. But
well, I think it's because, you know, the fire truck would actually have windows there.
Yeah, but a crane.
Well, it's the same mold. But I guess you're right on this one. They could have just not painted them. Yeah, but now once it's in vehicle mode, I know you don't have your Inferno in vehicle mode, but the gray panels on the side, from my understanding, I don't have my Inferno in front of me, but my understanding is those are remolded as well.
Mm-hmm.
As well as some of the side panels on his arms. There was a lot of remolding done on this guy. It was practically a new toy.
Yeah, that's why I was not hesitant at all to try to pick this guy up.
Well, I wanted him because for my classics collection, you know.
Well, you know, it's multiple purpose, but you know, that goes without being said. I like the articulation on the crane. I mean, it slides in and out here, so it extends like a actual crane arm would. You can actually turn it 360 degrees on the back of the crane. It's very reminiscent of the Generation 1 toy in many ways. I wish they had actually released Classics Inferno with a ladder. I know you can get a third-party ladder for it, but
again, it attaches to the arm, but the mod I was referencing earlier will fix that problem. You can have it where it mounts on his back. Yeah. But you have to use a Junker G1. I would like to see a third-party company, you know, release a... Not even have necessarily the crane, you know, could reuse this one, but release a pack that has a ladder for Inferno, and then the pieces that can make the collars, as well as the little bar, the hinge bar that goes up, because I'm sure you remember on the original G1s how that would go from the back of the crane to the front of the cab, because that's where the head was as well. There's like that little arm that had the elbow. Just make that same little attachment and a new piece on the back, so that you don't have to drill a hole in it. You can just replace it. But, I mean, I think that would be a good selling product. I would buy it. If I could get a crane.
I would, too.
If I could get a crane for Inferno, or, I mean, a ladder for Inferno, and then the parts for both of these figures so that I could attach these parts to their back, it would be pretty awesome. I'd be excited.
How about the paint apps on yours? Do you see any missed paint apps or bad paint apps on yours? I don't see any on mine.
No. I don't. Everything, I mean, there's... Looks like some of the black stripes on the passenger side of the vehicle mode.
Yeah.
Looks like I got one little spot there where there's like some specks in the paint. But other than that...
Yeah, I have the exact same issue here.
Other than that, it looks pretty good. I have a reveal the shield rub sign.
Mm-hmm.
That does not work.
Yours does not work.
I have yet to buy a reveal the shield toy that the rub sign works properly.
Mine
I can sit
perfect.
And I can press on them, I can rub them, and they stay black.
Yeah,
and every single one I have.
Said.
Trax, Jazz, Retgar, I mean, all of them. I can rub the shield, nothing happens. So I guess I'm going to have to head to Ripper Labels, since you already mentioned them once, and buy a set of, you know, Autobot Decepticon stickers, and go to stickering my Reveal the Shield toys. Hmm. Peel off the rub signs, put stickers on.
Overall, though, I'm pretty pleased with Solar Storm Grappel.
Yeah, they put the E and the L backwards, I guess for trademark reasons.
Yeah. But I kind of like him.
And he rocks my socks.
And with all these, all the retooling and everything, he literally does feel very much like a brand new toy.
And it is such a nice mold, even in the first place, that, you know, I don't...
Yeah.
Even without the retooling, if it had just been a straight repaint, but put the crane instead of the squirt gun, left everything else the same, I would have still bought it again. Because it's a good mold. Yeah, I was just rolling mine on my hand going, zoom!
Vroom.
Zoom!
Zoom! Big boys playing with their toys. But that'll do it for this segment, and we'll move along.
Did we actually mention what we got, or do we just go into the opening the toy? Because
this is the only thing I got. So.
Yeah, that's the only thing you got, and I didn't get anything this week. I bought stuff this week, but it was all online, and none of it arrived. I was hoping to get one of the boxes today, but alas, that haul will have to wait till next week.
Yeah. I've got some stuff on the way, too. I got shipping notifications, I think, both the last couple days. So next week, I should have a pretty good... little haul. I know I said I was going to hold off and not buy anything until BotCon, but there were some things that popped up that I really didn't want to let pass, so I went ahead and got them. And I'll mention them the next time we do a Ouch My Wallet segment.
Reporting directly from HiyaCon, this is the Cybertron News Network.
All right, now on to the Cybertron News. We'll be talking about, I don't think we've mentioned them before, but they are a relatively new third-party company called Master Shooter Collectibles. They had a Facebook page, actually, go on live, about two days ago?
Yeah, I'm thinking it was like late Monday night, early Tuesday morning, something like that.
And actually, you were the one to discover it. I'm surprised nobody else noticed it.
It was actually, you know, because the pre-orders have been up on Captured Prey, because it's their first release is an exclusive there. And they had CAD images up, and I think it was like a news story. But I think it was so many months ago, it was before we were actually doing this podcast. That's why we never talked about it. And then we hadn't really heard much from them until now. And I think, you know, having the pre-orders in, I was like, well, I wonder if I've heard anything. And I did a quick Google search, and boom, their Facebook page popped up. And it's like, you know, it had just gone up. I was the first person to click like. So I went ahead and then posted the story over on TFW. And then, you know, they kind of got a little publicity from that. But, yeah, I mean, the new pictures, they look nice. They show – it's obviously a test shot because the colors aren't right. And there's no paint apps.
I think that's stated on the – on the Facebook page, isn't it?
Yeah, the it's called the Mega Gun Test Shot is the album that all the pictures are in. But they show it in, you know, with looks like Henke Starscream and Henke Prime in both vehicle and robot mode with him attached. You know, the Prime that's kind of stuck in the hole in the roof where the wind vane gun would go. And Starscream, he has the little adapter so that he can clip under the wings. And I got to say, I like the way it looks on Starscream hanging underneath. It just looks like the jet is armed to the teeth with all these extra weapons.
Yeah. I'm scrolling through my Facebook here without doing a search, trying to pull up. I like the page, so it should show up on my Facebook. Where is it? I've got so many people that just...
Yeah, I have a lot of people that play a lot of games on there, so a lot of stuff gets posted.
Yeah, I try to block that crap, but there's still a lot of people. I've got one guy, he's a mutual friend of mine and a few other people. He's a truck driver, and he does over the road, and he posts a whole lot of nonsense on there. Okay, yeah. Oh, wow. I like the those are new. The size comparison photos with Classics Nightstick from Cyclonus. Then you got the Mega Gun figure there. And then Legends Megatron from Reveal the Shield. And it looks like he's about the same size as the Classics Target Master.
Yeah, I was going to say he's about a head taller, but he's not even that. I mean, he's like a half a head taller.
And
but it's
gun
significant...
mode, he's slightly longer than a Target Master. Classics Target Master.
He's significantly smaller than the Legends Megatron, because another third-party company, I don't remember which company it was, the name of it, but they released, they were called Targetroids, where they had one based on Prime and Megatron and Hot Rod and Starscream. Of course, I personally never thought any of those made any sense other than Megatron. He's the only one turned into a gun. I don't know why Prime or Hot Rod or Starscream didn't turn into a gun. But alas, they look nice. They do look cool. They're about legend size, so they got a lot more articulation. You know, and Megagun here has some articulation. Looks like he's got the arms and the elbows and, you know, the hips. But he's stiff-legged, much like Nightstick. But yeah, I mean, he's significantly smaller than the other two options for Megatron-based guns. I think he's probably a little more, like you said, in scale with the Target Masters. And in my opinion, I think he has a far better-looking gun mode. I mean, the Legends Megatron looks good, but he can't be hailed by Classics toys because he doesn't have the 5mm post.
I've read a lot of people on TFW that were talking about the lack of detail on this figure, but there's two things that you got to remember. One, this is only a test shot, so obviously there's not going to be any paint apps on it. And number two, they're comparing it to the Target Droids, like you mentioned, but the Target Droids are what about legendish?
Yeah, they are. Size? Pictures I've seen of theirs, I've seen the Legends Megatron by Hasbro, the Reveal the Shield Megatron, next to the Target Droids Megatron. I think they call him Mega Shoton. And they're pretty much the same size.
And this figure is considerably smaller. So, I mean, given the size, there's a lot of detail packed into this little guy. And I have to admit, Captured Prey does have my pre-order in for both Mega Gun and Brown King, the two-pack. I can't wait till they come out. And, you know, I mean, whoever designed these guys, this little guy here, hats off to them. They did some real good work.
Well, I'm noticing here that on the first upload of pictures, there are a few comments on their Facebook page, and Master Shooter Collectible states that they're, because somebody was asking if there was any concrete release date, and they said they're trying to get these in the hands of Captured Prey before BotCon. So, yeah. You know, I guess that's the what they're trying to do is to get them to Captured Prey by BotCon, because we all know Captured Prey goes to BotCon, sets up a booth. So,
well, you and I both we know Morrison Christian, the owner of CapturedPrey.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know he can't tell me who it is. You know, I'm kind of thinking it's like an offshoot of Head Robots, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know for sure. I know that the pictures...
it kind of looks like their work.
Yeah, it kind of looks like their work as far as the final construction and quality, at least based on these test shots. But, you know, all we can do is speculate. We just know there's a third-party company helping this design. And we know they're U.S.-based. I think that's the reason for all the secrecy is because, you know, they don't want Hasbro, you know, going after these guys because they're, you know, just fans trying to produce something that fans want, and they don't want to get shut down by the man. So that's the reason for all the secrecy. If they were in China, they could probably come right out and say, yeah, look, it's us. You know, but so I think with a Facebook page is about the most they're going to be able to get away with.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I just noticed from the first time that I went to the website, they've actually got a new logo up there, too. That looks kind of cool.
Well, that does look neat. It's on the, like, a stamped steel.
Yeah. Master Shooter Collectibles. Well, if you're kind of wondering what we're talking about, if you're not familiar with the Master Shooter Collectibles, head on over to CapturedPrey.com. I'll give our friend Orson a little plug here. It's a great store. I love dealing with him. He's got very fair prices, and he won't rip you off. It's a website for the fans, ran by a fan. I know he's a big time collector as well.
His collection is impressive.
Yeah, he knows what we like as fans, and he knows that we don't want to break ourselves up to get figures. And I'm really glad that Master Shooter went with Captured Prey. I mean, he's not as big as some of your other online stores, such as BBTS or even TF Source, but he's got a great selection and great deals. And I'm really glad that they went with him. Over BBTS and everything. Well, I don't understand why they did, but I'm glad they did.
Hats off, because you know, Captured Prey's a, you know, like I said, Orson's a good guy.
Yeah, I've never heard a bad thing about Orson or Captured Prey.
Oh, yeah, he runs the store. So. His motto is to treat customers the way he'd want to be treated. Yeah. So, you know, if there's ever an issue, he's quick to get on it, drop everything else, and resolve the issue, because he knows if he were having an issue, he'd want it taken care of as quickly as possible. So, and you know, that's why I've always liked him as far as the way he runs the store. Not, you know, because that's how I met him, is, you know, because he had the store, and then I found out he was somewhat local. He's in Louisville, Kentucky. And then we met up at one of the meetups, and then so, you know, it's like, okay, well, this guy, because of the way he runs the store, the reputation he's got, you know, I'm going to befriend this guy. You know, so he's very approachable because, again, like I said, he is a fan. So if you're ever, you know, if you're at BotCon, you can just go up and talk to him. You know, he'd probably hang out. I don't think he drinks beer. A lot of guys in BotCon go to the bar. I don't think he drinks.
I believe he's diabetic like me, and drinking beer would be a very bad thing.
Okay. Well, he'll hang out and talk to you if you want to. So.
Yeah. But, actually, my wife and I are rooming with him and, I believe, a Gen 1 fan High-Rise from the boards at BotCon this year. So I might be able to talk to him a little bit about this figure, and hopefully we can get him on the podcast here. We'd love to have him, even, you know, as a guest or something, but if we get him on here as a regular, that'd be great.
I would say, but, with us being at the show and you sharing a room with him, it probably won't be that hard to, you know, get him to give us 30 minutes while in the room just to do a quick recording and answer some questions. So, again, awesome. Listeners, if you have any questions you'd like to ask, you know, Capture Prey or Orson of Capture Prey, feel free to, you know, post in a thread or send us messages on, you know, geekexistence.com, and, you know, we'll get a list ready and be ready to ask him some questions.
Most definitely. Well, moving on to another Target Master related item. This popped up. I noticed, I know you saw it long before I did, but you pointed it out to me. I'm like, what? And whenever I saw the picture, I have to say, I must have this repaint. It is Generations Stepper. You want to tell us a little bit about Stepper? I know we mentioned him in passing with the Art Fire eBay item of the week, but tell us a little bit about Generations Stepper.
Well, he's going to be he's a release that's going to be exclusive to the publishing company that does the Generations books, Million Publishing. You know, so he's going to be around the same price range as the Ghost Starscream or the Black and Clear Mirage, which I'm not sure what the theme was on that one. You know, those ran for around $80 each on the online stores to get a hold of them. So that's about what Stepper here is going to cost. But he's the repaint of Reveal the Shield Jazz. And to be honest with you, I'm a little surprised to see it as this exclusive. Because, you know, the instructions with Jazz did not reveal a new head. And they usually always use the second release, I guess, because they use the CAD files to print the instructions. You know, because you can just position the figure on the screen, snap a JPEG of it, and it goes on the instruction sheet. So that's why we keep getting the reveals of new heads, is because usually they design the toy, and then they design the alternate parts, and since that's the most recent file, that's what gets used. And Jazz, he had his normal head. So your first thought is, they design all these toys with a repaint in mind, because they got to make back their money. And Jazz, with his original head, what could he be repainted into? Stepper. Or Ricochet, as he gets called in the U.S. So that's what I expected, you know, the mass release Jazz repaint to be. So I'm a little surprised to see it as an exclusive.
Well, you know, they could probably still do this. You remember, you know, the BotCon Seeger debacle debacle. Yeah. I just keep wanting to say a debacle. I'm sorry. I've heard it said that before. But the BotCon Seeker debacle, where, you know, the Seekers were completed out in, what was the 2006 set? Or 2007 set. Mm-hmm. And now we have had all the Seekers released in the Classics Universe Generations line.
Although they were different enough, because, I mean, Thrust and Dirge had completely different wings, and Thundercracker just had a slightly different paint deco.
Well, see, that's the thing. I believe that we may still get a Stepper released domestically as Ricochet in maybe a future Generations line or even a BotCon exclusive, but he may not have the exact same deco.
The flames, they could go for a more realistic look on the flames like they've been doing on some toys lately.
Yeah. Still have the same color scheme and have the same color scheme and everything. But just, you know, with a slightly different deco.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but like I said, they did that with Trax. Instead of having the typical G1 flames on the hood, they gave him the updated, like, tribal tattoo.
Yeah.
And they could do something similar with Stepper, you know, like similar colors, but, you know, instead of having these flames, they could change the flames up and make them look more modern.
Yeah. I do want this one, though, because it seems like he has some, like, gold chrome on him. And he's just got a lot of bling. He's just awesome looking. I can't say enough about this guy.
Thing is, it's like you're going to have your reissue Stepper, and you know, and then you're going to have your classic Stepper, and then you're going to look at your classic shelf, and or you're going to look at your G1 shelf, and you're going to see a G1 Inferno, and you're going to look at your classic shelf and see a Classics Inferno, and you're going to wonder where the crap is Artfire.
Hmm.
This is just going to make me want Artfire even more.
Hasbro, if you're listening. You know, we mentioned last week in the podcast that we may get to talk with Aaron Archer. Maybe we can really put this bug in his ear. We really want an Artfire.
Yes.
But maybe we might get surprised this year. You know, they always...
It may be revealed as a future release.
They always give us a surprise at BotCon. So, you know, we'll wait and see. Generation Stepper will be a Million Publishing exclusive, and it'll be available in Japan, but I'm sure the online toy stores will put up the pre-orders very soon, if they have not already, so check it out. Moving along, Reveal the Shield. I know we talked at length about it last week, about the cancellations of the, particularly of the Legends and the Scout-sized figures at mass retail, which remains, you know, there's going to be overstock. We know these figures have been produced and packaged and sent out to warehouses. Well, if the mass retailers aren't going to be carrying these, then what are they going to do with the remaining overstock? You know, a lot of speculation has been said, you know, like Big Lots, maybe Toys R Us exclusives.
Or Family Dollar.
Dollar. Yeah. And that still may be the case. But
we have to remember, weren't there some unreleased Cybertron Scouts that were part of the movie line? That I think they were Target exclusive during the first movie line that did not get released, and they never got released.
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure.
We're going to hope these guys don't end up like that, where, okay, the only ones that got out are the ones that got out to the UK and to the online stores that ordered them.
Yeah.
But the rest just sit in the warehouse alongside those Energon Scouts. Or Cybertron Scouts.
Yeah, but, go ahead.
I was going to say, either way, whether they show up in stores or not, you have not completely missed out on your chance to get them.
No.
And I'm kind of thinking this may be the outlet for these toys. I think maybe the club looked at this, because this is the Transformers Collectors Club. They may have looked at the situation, saw the cancellation, saw retailers weren't going to get these, saw the demand, and may have worked out a deal with Hasbro where basically they can have as much of the stock as they want. Because they've got these up as pre-orders. Now, the catch is you have to order a set of six to get your one win charge.
Basically the case assortment.
Yeah, because the case assortment is 12 figures, two of each. Except I think there's a couple figures. I think the Backfire and the Insecticon are one each, which is why they have two different assortments of six. One comes with I can't remember his name again. It's the one that looks like Brawn, and then Insecticon.
So Fire Trap.
Yeah, Fire Trap. Fire Trap and Insecticon are one each to the case. So you get two different sets of six that are pretty much identical, but one has Fire Trap and one has Insecticon, but they both will come with one wind charger. So I could totally see this being the case where the club was like, okay, people want these. They're not going to make it to mass retail. There's demand because it's the first wind charger. They could have worked out the deal with Hasbro where it's like, give us exclusivity. We'll put up pre-orders. People will buy them. And they basically, however much Hasbro has left in the back stock, the club can just keep pre-orders open as long as people are buying them. They'll just take as many cases as they need from Hasbro. So, you know, the club, this may be the official outlet of these in the U.S. as far as, you know, okay, well, the club's just going to take them all. Provided they'll sell. Because it makes sense because they're not breaking it up. Usually when they get toys, they'll, you know, new waves in, they'll sell the toys individually. And they're grouping these together. And I think it's because they know these others are shelf warmers. If we're going to buy all these cases up in order to offer the fans the wind chargers, we got to move these other figures too. So they group them in these sets of six on purpose. So it's like, if you want wind charger, you're going to have to buy these shelf warmers from us too. Just to help us clear the warehouse.
Well, I have to admit, I ordered a case of these, a set of six, I solely want the Cliff Jumper the Wind Charger out of it, and I intend to sell the rest, unless Chop Saw is pretty awesome, but I already have that mold, and I'm actually considering selling that mold. If I can recoup just a little bit of the cost, I'm already just buying this case assortment. I'm paying less for the case assortment than I would if I went and bought a wind charger by himself on most online stores or on eBay. You know,
yeah, because he was getting up to around $60 to $80.
Yeah, anywhere between $60 and $80 right now, and that price is sure to go up. So I was happy to pay $60.11 shipping that's the member price for the case assortment that includes wind charger. So if I can sell, you know, any amount of the rest of them, you know, I can knock that much more off the price. If I can just get $5 out of them, great. So,
I was looking at that because you told me about it and I didn't know how quickly they would sell out because I didn't know how many they had before. I thought about the idea that they've pretty much got a bottomless pit because they've got all Hasbro stock at their disposal. You know, the actual number of cases be ironed out when the pre-orders close or whenever they, you know, fill the orders. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I kind of thought, this could be one of those deals where a lot of online stores will get them in. But they've only got so many, and then once they're gone, they're gone. And so I went ahead and I hurried up and ordered from my phone. And it was before I noticed the two different pairings of toys. Because I already have a Fire Trap. I bought one back when it was first released because that was one of the scouts I wanted because it looked like Brawn to me. So I would have much rather had the set with Insecticon because I don't have Insecticon. That would have been a new mold for me. I'm like you. At least Chop Saw and Sunspot would have been new toys for. I mean, I have those molds already, but they would have been at least repaints, so I wouldn't have already owned those toys.
Now I like Sunspot. I picked up Sunspot simply because I may have mentioned this in the podcast where I mentioned that I had him in the Ouch My Wallet segment. But I really like that bright color scheme on Sunspot. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I really like it. And, he's kind of pretty in those colors.
No, I already have the original release of that mold. I don't remember what his name was. Skystalker, I think. He works really well with Mind Wipe. So I really had no desire for those colors on the mold because I already had it. But if I'd got the Insecticons assortment, at least the only duplicate toy I would have gotten was Breacher, and he's a pretty awesome scout.
Yeah.
You know, everything else would have either been a new mold, like Insecticon, or, you know, a repaint of a mold I have, so it's at least a different toy. But I jumped the gun because I tried to hurry, bought the wrong one. And now the big question that you're probably asking is, why would I jump on this if I already have two wind chargers that I secured and talked about in a previous Out of My Wallet?
You're a hoarder.
I'm a horrible scalper. No. Like I said, you know, last week when we started noticing the price going up and the cancellation, I bought two because I wanted to keep one as wind charger and I wanted to bash one into a Stunticon. I don't even remember which Stunticon
so,
now.
So what you're saying is that you're actually going to take a rare figure and kit bash it.
Yes, when I saw this and I thought about, you know, like you, I could buy this for $60 and flip most of those other scouts and resell them. Again, since I got the set I did, there's no temptation to keep Insecticon because I didn't get him. So I'm pretty confident I can sell the rest, get most of the money back. So I shouldn't have more than $15 in my wind charger. So, yeah, since I've still got the one that's loose and then one to keep sealed just because it's rare, you know, that could make good trade fodder down the road, but then I can still get one to kitbash. Because that was kind of the whole idea, is, man, it's getting so valuable, I can't paint a toy that valuable, you know, but man, if I've got three of it, then, yeah, I guess I can. I can bring myself to paint one if I've got two more, but not if I've only got one more. For some reason, it's a psychological thing, I just could not kitbash one with only having one extra, but with two extra, it's not as big a deal.
Yeah. Moving on to a little bit more Generations news, and this is actually good news. Generations Wave 8 has been spotted at Target in Ames, Iowa, by TFW 2005 member Shifty Penguin. Shout out. Wave 8 consists of two Warpaths, two Wheeljacks, two Thundercrackers, one Sergeant Cup, and one Scourge.
Which, that's good news for, you know, people who are still looking for everything from Cup and Scourge onward. Because, you know, hey, this whole case is nothing but awesome. But what I think is strange is, at least around here, you know, Cup and Scourge has shown up. I've actually seen them in stores I've seen Cup once and Scourge a couple times.
Yeah, I've seen Cup more than once now.
What's strange is, you know, the only new toy in this particular wave was the two Warpaths. The wave before this had the Wheeljacks and the Thundercrackers. But yet, other than people buying them online, have there been any in-store sightings of Wheeljack and Thundercracker before this? It's almost as if Wave 7 got skipped.
I can't say that I have seen them. Until now, Wheeljack, the only places I've seen him is on online stores. I got my Wheeljack from my Wheeljack and my Thundercracker and my Cup. I got them from Hasbro Toy Shop. I got three of my Scourges from HTS, and one of them I actually found in store at a Walmart. Wheeljack and Thundercracker in particular have been really difficult to find. I haven't even seen them.
Not just personally and a local level. I think even on the boards, the people that have those toys got them from online stores. I could be wrong, but I don't recall there ever being a news story that these guys were found at retail until now. This wave has shown up with the Warpath. But again, Wave 7 didn't have Warpath. That was the first wave with Wheeljack Thundercracker. I don't remember seeing any reports of those being found in stores. But yet, this wave has been. So it's kind of strange, you know, what exactly happened there. You know, why did Wave 7 never show up, then all of a sudden, boom, here's Wave 8?
It goes right back to what we were discussing last week on the podcast about marketing and distribution. I think it's just a lot of crappy distribution, and the fact that the retailers have just been really holding off on their orders of new stuff. I mean, they're wanting to get to wait for the Dark of the Moon toys, which should be hitting any week now. It's late April now, so I'd say probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks we should start seeing the first deluxes and Voyagers on the shelf for Dark of the Moon. But Given that, it's highly likely that a lot of the retailers, like my local stores I mentioned before, they've been empty on their Transformer shelves. I mean, they've had a 4-foot section that is completely naked and has been for months, since at least late December, early January.
Well, the only thing they have are the Generations figures, correct?
Because I think whenever they do restock, whenever they do restock, I have been seeing Generations. Now the local Walmart, they got that end cap, of course, that had all those Generations. They have literally blown through those. Now they don't have.
I was surprised. I saw those in stores, I thought, oh man, because we were hoping for the new wave stuff, like Cup and Scourge at that time, and it was all the previous wave, lots of dirges and things. So I thought, oh man, this stuff's going to clog these shelves. We're never going to see anything new. And it's all gone now.
Yeah, well, for the most part. Now, my local Walmart, most of the end cap is gone. And what was on there, what was left on the end cap, they have moved to the shelf now. And the shelf, the last I looked, it had maybe about 10 figures on it. And one of them was a cup. Now, the local Meijer that I have, the one that has been the most barren for the most amount of time, they have not had any new Transformers since at least mid-December.
Even Generations,
they were completely naked. I don't know if you remember the twit pic that I posted on Twitter a few weeks back. Basically it was a picture of a completely naked shelf, and I stated something along the lines of still yet no toys at this Meijer. They have since restocked with a case of Generations, not a couple cases. They restocked a case of Generations.
Now, if it was like the Meijer in Lexington that I went to that finally restocked, it was a case of Generations, but it was a case of Wave 1.
Yes.
They were eat up with Bumblebee and Drift.
Yes. Well, I went in there day before yesterday. No, it was yesterday. And I looked. All they have is one Thunderwing, one Red Alert remaining. That is it.
Well, that's the good news is, I mean, I know I've seen Warpath getting as much attention as Windcharger on eBay and stuff lately because he's people looking at it, he's a late wave release like Windcharger. He's going to be hard to find. I think people are forgetting, just like with Meijer, they clearanced out all the gold box stuff. They haven't reordered, so that's why there's no reveal of the shield coming in there because they're waiting for Dark of the Moon. But they are restocking the Generations because Generations is running alongside the movie. That line isn't ending. So therefore, they're going to keep ordering that. They're just not going to order the line that they're going to have to try and put on clearance because it's being replaced. And so I think people are jumping the gun a bit on Windcharger as far as, paying outrageous prices. Because, these waves are moving. These toys are coming in. You're going to see them in the store. There's no doubt. I mean, some of the more popular figures, especially Scourge, because a lot of people are troop building him, he's going to be a little harder to spot. But the rest of these toys will show up, with the exception of, as we said, Wheeljack and Thundercracker haven't been spotted until now, and it's the next wave. But with what you were saying, I think I can kind of understand why. A lot of these stores were sitting on previous waves, because like we said, Walmart had ordered so many of the previous waves that they've gone through them, but they're just now starting to get through them. And all the while, these online stores have been getting Wave 7 cases, because that's where people have been getting the Thundercrackers and Wheeljacks. And I think it's just one of those deals that from the Hasbro warehouses, the online stores took the majority of Wave 7, while the brick-and-mortar stores were sitting on Wave 6 and older because they got so much of that in, that by the time they got through that and started ordering again, the Hasbro warehouses had gotten rid of most of the Wave 7 stuff to the online stores and were now moved on to Wave 8. That's the only way I could possibly see Wave 7 skipping the brick-and-mortars.
Yeah, that's I totally agree. But I believe that's enough about the Generations. I didn't have it in the notes here, but I did want to briefly skim over it. I don't want to go into it too long because I want to spend the last few minutes of the podcast here with the Transformers Prime episode discussion. But I wanted to throw these out here. We did have from our friend at Captured Prey, Sidecutter, a.k.a. Orson, he posted this morning that he had got a solicitation for the next Masterpiece figure, and it will retail at around $250 to $300. And the name is not yet revealed, and there was a placeholder just basically it said coming soon. But all we have with the name is new. Take that for what you will.
I saw that, and I was wondering if the new, it was like that was part of the name, like new something or other, or if they were just meaning it's a new toy, not a re-release of a previous toy, and so they just put the word new, and then they, so like when the name is revealed, if it will replace new or be added to the end of new, that's the big mystery.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of, you know, I saw some people speculating in the board. Some people were saying, well, maybe it's going to be Galvatron or Shockwave, because Shockwave's in the new movie. But, I mean, at that price, it's not going to be a small figure. No, I mean, even it's Rodimus, big one. Even Rodimus with a, you know, robot mode similar in size to, you know, Grimlock or Starscream, maybe a little bigger, and then had a trailer with him, was only $200. So, I mean, for $250, it's going to be a big figure. So, I mean, as much as I would love a Galvatron, I was hoping Galvatron was next, that price point, I just have a hard time believing it's going to be Galvatron. It better not be. For that price, that's ridiculous.
Well, I like the speculation that it's going to be a combiner, possibly a Devastator or something. You know, it's still just speculation at this point.
Well, I think
really like to see that.
The most plausible explanations I've heard, there's two that I think are the most plausible, one that's pulling a close third, is that since they talked about, they had that last shot of the MP01 mold that they recently did, like, it's your last chance to get, you know, this toy, because I think the Masterpiece line kind of changed direction after they released that first Prime. Prime had the really cartoon-accurate robot mode with some added detailing that turned into a shape kind of resembling a truck. You know, but it wasn't an accurate truck. I mean, for the size of the cab, the wheels were too small, and, you know, you had the windshield hanging over the front of the truck with a grill. When, you know, real trucks just aren't shaped that way. He was passable as a toy truck, but he didn't look like a realistic truck. As opposed to, you look at Megatron and you look at Starscream, how realistic their alt modes were. They went for the super realistic alt mode and then got the robot mode as close as possible to the cartoon, which was the opposite approach of Prime, where they took the realistic cartoon accurate robot mode and just got as close as they could to a truck. And so one theory is that they're doing a whole new Prime that would be, you know, be a whole new mold that takes that approach where they get the realistic looking truck and then get the robot mode as close as possible to the cartoon. And then that kind of evolved. Well, looking at that price, you would have to include the trailer, but how can you really improve the trailer that came with MP04? So it kind of logically extends that maybe they're going to do a Power Master Optimus Prime. So you have a new cab that turns into a robot that maybe they'll, again, go that direction, but it'll be engineered to combine with the trailer to make a Super Prime.
And maybe that even a God Bomber that comes with it, too. That would be
that
cool.
Would definitely justify a $300 price tag. Mm-hmm. The other potential, and this actually could be a potential repaint if they design it right, would be an Ultra Magnus. Which, you know, again, they could just have different trailers, use the same cab, and they could, you know, for the Ultra Magnus, could also be Power Master Prime later, too. But Ultra Magnus with trailer would be another possibility. Those are the two, I think, strongest, mainly because of the price tag. For $300, it would have to be something big like that.
Mm-hmm.
Another possibility, since Japan likes to do leader figures, that's why they've mostly done, like, Prime, Megatron, Starscream. You know, he wasn't a leader, he was close, he's really iconic. You know, then you had Rodimus. And Grimlock, I mean, all these guys were leaders at some point for the most part. I think even Starscream led for 20 minutes in the movie. But some are saying it could be a Masterpiece Fortress Maximus. It wouldn't be in scale with the other Masterpiece figures, but it would make a good classics toy. He would obviously be larger than the others with a $300 price tag. But I think the idea would be, the reason why people kind of want to see it is, okay, he's a leader figure because he was a leader in Headmasters. It would be larger than the other Masterpieces, which, you know, of course, obviously, Fortress Maximus, the bigger the better. So you put him with your classics, he's going to tower over them. So that's, again, that's what I would say was the third best possibility, but I think it's more likely to be either Power Master Prime or Ultra Magnus. But I liked that speculation when somebody said it could be a Masterpiece Fort Max. I thought, wow, that would be awesome.
Yeah. All of those would be awesome, but like you said, anything right now is just speculation, so we'll just see. Moving on to our last little thing that I wanted to throw in here was the Shout Factory pre-order for the Transformers Complete Japanese Collection that will be released here in the United States. This series will contain Headmasters, Master Force, and Victory. It'll be released the same day that Headmasters is released on DVD. But Headmasters, Master Force, and Victory, a complete set, will be $99.99 or $89.99 if you pre-order it. Not exactly sure where you can pre-order it at. It probably doesn't matter. But, yeah, I really would like the Headmasters only. But Master Force and Victory, if I can get them all three in one, and especially if they do a new dub, that would be really cool. I don't see them doing that, as we mentioned before, but this would be a great set to pick up.
Yeah, this is kind of a strange story, because I could have swore there had just been a story not 2 days ago where they were talking about Headmasters being released individually, and they were saying that Master Force and Victory were just possibilities, and it would entirely depend on how well Headmasters sold, because they figured Headmasters would be the more recognizable series since it picked up right after Season 3, so they would obviously expect it to sell more, so it would have to sell enough, big enough number that they figure, okay, a reduced number is what we would sell the other two, would it be worth releasing? So then to turn around and have another story where, hey, guess what, the complete set. It's a little strange to me. I'm going to have to read up on this, get some more information, because I'm looking at both stories here on the same page in the news forum, and it just doesn't add up. Like, okay, we got one here that if you read it, it says, you know, the other two will depend on the sales of the first, and then you scroll down two threads, and hey, it's all three released in one set
on the same day as Headmasters.
Yes,
it is confusing, but that's one of those things that maybe we'll see. But if they release them all three, I'll go for that. If they just release Headmasters, which we know they're definitely releasing Headmasters, I'll definitely go for that. Let's move on to our...
I just wonder if they'll do like use the fan dubs that are out, or if they'll use those horrible Chinese dubs.
I don't know.
Because I like the idea of Spike being Sparkle. Sounds fun.
I don't. We are now entering the Transformers Prime episode discussion area. If you haven't seen the latest episode, then be forewarned that you may be spoiled by listening further. Predatory, we're going to discuss this. If you have not viewed this episode, you can stick your fingers in your ear and go, la 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 la.
Or just pause the podcast.
Yeah, well, you need to do that first and then do that.
Okay. Just if they do the fingers and ears, Allah, 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 Akbar, just, you know, be careful, they'll explode.
Yeah. But you have been forewarned, so we're going to discuss some spoiler topics here. And, Greg, what's your thoughts on this episode? Was you as creeped out by it as I am?
Yes. I like creepy shows and movies, so I wasn't really creeped out by it so much as I just thought it was done really well. You kind of build up a tolerance to creepy shows where it takes more to creep you out. But, yeah, they totally hit the atmosphere being in the woods, and there's kind of like a fog. And they had the atmosphere and the tone. Everything was right to make this a very creepy, almost monster movie-ish atmosphere.
Well, it was also very dark, too. I mean, there was very little in the episode that was lit, so you couldn't always see everything that was going on. And they kept Arachnid pretty much in the shadows for the biggest part of the episode, and only did a whole lot of close-ups of the face. And for most of the time when you saw Arachnid, that's all you saw of her was the face.
Or her spider feet as she's walking through the woods, you know, because you're from the perspective of Jack as a human, so this giant spider just walked by, so you only see the lower parts of the legs. I remember coming up to this episode when we saw the preview clip, and you saw Arachnid, about, you know, like you said, just little bits and pieces. People were wondering, you know, what is her alt mode going to be? Number one question was, why didn't they call her Black Arachnia? They already have a female spider character. And number two, you know, what's her alt mode going to be? Is she going to turn into just a big spider? If so, why the Arachnid? You know, it's not just Arachnid, it was Arachnid. So there's an implication of flying. And, you know, to address those two points, I would think the first reason they didn't use the name Black Arachnia, although she was a Predacon when she debuted in Beast Wars, she kind of became a good guy. So she became a hero character. And again, in animated, it was the opposite. She was an Autobot that turned Decepticon because she felt betrayed. But she never was really for the Decepticon cause so much as she was against the Autobots because she felt betrayed by them. So it's almost like she wasn't really truly an evil character. She just kind of, you know, life took her in the wrong direction. And so I think the idea was they didn't want us taking those preconceived notions of the character because of the name and attaching that to this new character, because apparently she's going to be just nothing but evil. You know, there's no good guy in there somewhere waiting to come out, which is what we would have expected if she'd been called Black Arachnia. Because I don't think the fandom or anybody who's familiar with that character could embrace the idea of her staying bad forever. We would always be looking for that episode where she turns.
Yes,
so
and
I think
she was the essence of evil in this episode. Arachnid was.
Yes, and I think that's why they went with the different name. Was okay, she's the essence of evil, and they're probably going to keep her evil. She's probably going to always be a Decepticon. And I think that was the purpose of the new name, because they didn't want people to think it was going to go differently. And as far as the other thing about her alt mode, another thing that actually I didn't notice until after other people pointed it out was that when you would see a couple shots of Arachnid's back as she was going by the camera, the spider legs, when she was in robot mode, looked like they were attached to some kind of rotor, which would lead one to believe those could very easily make helicopter blades. So she didn't take an alt mode in this episode. She pretty much just went back and forth from, you know, bipedal robot to robot with six spider legs. You know, it's like her legs would transform into the spider abdomen, and then those things in her back would extend out and make six spider legs, and then she would still be just like a robot form from the chest up. Which was, you know, kind of weird. It was, you know, I kind of likened it to a centaur, but with a spider instead of a horse.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, with all the focus on Arachnid, it needs to be said that RC really stood out in this episode. It was another very strong RC episode. Mm-hmm. Now, the only Transformers we really see in this whole episode, we see RC, Arachnid, and we see briefly Cliffjumper in flashbacks, as well as Bumblebee. A lot of the backstory in this episode is done through flashbacks or terrorized memories through RC's eyes of her first encounter with Arachnid, and they add to the creepiness and the terror that you feel in this episode. To be honest, I really wish they had waited on this episode until around Halloween, because it would have worked really well, in my opinion.
Well, I think another thing that added to the creepiness of this episode, and, you know, that whole, you know, fear aspect, was the character development that RC has gotten up to this point. You know, cause she's always been depicted as just real strong. Yeah, she's a fembot, but she's real strong, real bold. And, you know, we've seen her, I mean, not afraid to jump in there with the best of them, you know, and fight. I mean, she's never backed. It's not like there's ever been a con that she was scared of. Even outnumbered with the Eradicons, she was right there fighting them, you know. So, you've seen her, even against what seems like impossible odds, she's never even been remotely scared. But yet, just seeing this ship and recognizing who it was, knowing it was Arachnid, she was petrified. And, again, that had more of an impact when you know her character from past episodes. Okay, RC doesn't scare easy. And she is scared.
Well,
so there's
that,
obviously
that reminds
going on
me
here.
Of one more character that we see, we hear, and see a little bit of glimpse of, and that was through her memories on Cybertron of her encounter with Arachnid for the first time, and that was Tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
Now we never got a real good clear view of his face and total robot form. We kind of saw him slumped over from the back and everything. Judging from his color scheme, which was mainly white, from what I could tell, it's highly possible that he was meant to be the G1 incarnation of Tailgate, of course, with the Prime update to it. But I think that's really neat that they threw that that aspect in there. And I kind of got the impression that RC and Tailgate had something going on kind of romantically, I guess.
It was never
really flat out said, but, you know, I got the implication.
Yeah, well, from the flashbacks, we got the impression that they at least were as close as what we could gather from her conversations with Cliffjumper in the first episode of Prime. You know, by just their back and forth banter, you could tell they obviously had, at the very least, a really good friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of what we saw here with Tailgate. You know, yes, they kind of had some back and forth.
She was very devastated whenever he got destroyed or got right. killed by Arachnid.
That's what I was going to say. She had this whole thing of she was really devastated by the fact that he got killed. Fast forward, because we don't know how many years in the past those flashbacks were, and then you had the thing with Cliffjumper, and Arachnid brings that out. She's like, well, hey, I took care of Tailgate, and I've heard about what happened with Cliffjumper. And I'm kind of starting to think that maybe RC should be called Black Arachnia because she seems to be a bit of a Black Widow. You know, mm-hmm. she gets involved with somebody, look out. You know, just like every relationship she has ends, death do us part.
Yeah. I mean, whether it's romantic or just a very close friendship, you know, it's never really stated. But, you know, judging from her reaction upon Tailgate's death in this episode, I just got the impression that it was much deeper than a close friendship. You know, I mean, love affairs between robots is a totally different thing, a totally different story. I don't particularly care too much for that, but, you know, for the sake of storyline and everything, it's still very interesting, this episode.
Yeah, it's done. I mean, like I said, robots have no reason to procreate. They have no reason to have relationships, but it's to make them relatable, show that they have emotions and they can get attached to one another just like we do.
It's a way to make the robots more human.
Yeah, to humanize them.
You know, and for that matter, you know, I mean, Transformers in general really wouldn't work as a property, as a storyline, if the robots had no feeling, no character, because, you know, if in real life, if there was an alien life form robot, for what reason, for what purpose would they need feelings and human characteristics? I mean, they're robots. Why would they need to develop them?
If anything, it would be a sign of weakness, especially if they were in battle. Because, again, if you care about someone, you know, then that's leverage the enemy can get against you.
I mean, it's a point of debate. But that being said, it's key and central to what Transformers is, that they have these personalities. And part of that would be love interests, you know, I mean, and female robots for that matter, you know, feminine type robots, you know, and this is just a very good example of that. You know, for what reason would a robot need to be terrorized or feel terrorized? If a robot were going to respond, it would respond coldly and logically, I would think. If that was the case, this would not be a very interesting episode.
No, I mean, none of the Transformers series would be very interesting if that were the case.
Yeah.
But I think we've chased that rabbit long enough because, you know, we've kind of gotten away from the episode itself. But, I mean, was there anything else in the episode that stood out to you as far as a plot point?
Jack, hold on. To shoo my cat. Jack and his relationship with RC, time and again she told him to stay put, stay away from the action, hide, but he just kept coming back because he cared so much for RC. And RC, even though he's this small, seemingly helpless human, you know, what could he do against this giant robot automaton that is Arachnid, you know, what could he possibly do? But he did the most important thing that he could do for RC, and that is motivate her.
Well, not only that, but I mean, toward the end of the episode, he did play a major role in finally defeating Arachnid.
Yeah,
He blew up the ship as she was on top of it. So it just went to show that despite, because I think what really struck me with that whole dynamic was that RC was treating Jack like a liability. Like any other time, yeah, she's there quick to defend him, but this is the one time she's scared. This is a foe that she's faced before and got beaten by.
Well, on the surface, that's exactly how you would feel about Jack, you know, if you were a robot.
Right. So I think, you know, but normally, though, she doesn't take the whole aspect of him being a liability. Usually he's her friend and she protects him, but she's never really actually viewed him as a liability so much as she did now. She's like, look, I'm in over my head and you're just going to get in the way. That was her attitude at the beginning. Of course, then Jack proves his usefulness by the fact that, you know, hey, look, just because I'm small and seemingly weaker doesn't mean, you know, I can't do something. Because, you know, he obviously was very smart and, you know, and blew the ship up, you know. So he did end up being useful, and that kind of caused RC to view Jack a little differently. Because rather than just being a liability, something to have to protect, she saw, wait a minute, he's actually got my back. You know, he actually can help me.
And in true spider fashion, Arachnid, it didn't take care of her. You know, I mean, she took a licking and kept on ticking, you know. She's
a big shoe.
Yeah, I don't think even that would take care of her. But, you know, he did damage her, and he did prove to RC, that's exactly the point that I was trying to make, is that he did prove to RC, hey, I'm not a liability, I am helpful, and you are my friend, and I am going to help you regardless of whether you want my help or not, you know, because I know you need my help. And whenever RC saw that in him, you know, it provided the motivation. I mean, she was stuck to this wall or this tree with Arachnid's web, and, you know, she knew that Jack was out there and needed her help, and he provided that motivation to get away from that trap. And then whenever she saw that he was not the liability that she thought he was, that gave her the confidence to do what she needed to do to take care of Arachnid, at least for now.
Right, yeah, I just want to say, Arachnid was defeated enough that she knew, okay, if I keep fighting, I'm dead. And so, like a spider, she bore a hole in the ground and took off. So.
Yeah, I mean, it is a really cool episode. I know you said it's one of your favorites. I don't think it's one of my favorites, although it is a very good episode. I was thoroughly entertained for all the reasons that we just discussed. But I think the lack of the male characters such as Prime and Bulkhead kind of detracted from it for me. You know, I like RC, but she's not one of my favorite characters. Even though, you know, like I said, her character is pretty cool. Arachnid is a cool and very worthy opponent for any Transformer, be it male or female. But this episode just didn't have a lot of what I want in a Transformers show. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's up there in one of my tops.
It was better than Speed Metal.
Yeah, it was better than Speed Metal.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Speed Metal was a good episode, but it was one of those where it was like, okay, it's a TV show that's keeping me entertained for 30 minutes. Nothing I really got into or excited about. Yeah. Unlike this episode where you're like, oh, crap, what's going to happen?
I think
Jack's a little human. He's going to get squished, you know.
Yeah, I think what's important about this episode is it provided a dynamic episode that we just don't see that often in Transformers. And to be honest, I don't recall a Transformers episode being this dark since Beast Wars or Beast Machines. Yeah. I mean, there may have been an animated episode or so, but I don't recall any of them being as dark as this episode was.
Yeah, the last episode I remember, pretty much all of Beast Machines was kind of creepy and dark like this. Mm-hmm. But I remember, I go back to, because it's on the same spider theme, the episode of Beast Wars where Cheetor was trapped on Tarantulas' web.
Oh, yes.
That was kind of dark. So, I mean, it's kind of sent back vibes to that episode, is what it kind of reminisced to.
And
I liked it.
That's one of the things I like about Prime, is it brings back a lot of what made Beast Wars so special.
Okay, so now I have a question for you. We talked about Tailgate, since we kind of finished up talking on the plot points. As you say, we only saw a little bit of him, and he was, you know, we could tell he was white. Now, in G1, Tailgate, if I'm not mistaken, was he a repaint of, was it Windcharger?
Yes, he was.
So do you think we might see, because again, you know, we know Cliffjumper died early, but again, we got a flashback where, so they're going to use that character model, because it's not cheap, and so we're getting Cliffjumper in flashbacks. You know, I can't see them rendering a whole bot just to have him in one scene where he's drug in and dropped, and you barely even see him. You think we'll get maybe a Windcharger down the road?
It's thoroughly possible. And, you know, with the Reveal the Shield Windcharger toy, we know it exists because you actually have some in your possession. It's highly possible that we'll see a white and blue repaint of that figure, whether it be in a BotCon set or...
even in the Prime toy line.
Yeah, even in the Prime toy line as Tailgate. And I would very much love to see that. You know, I mean, they could easily release that toy in those colors as Tailgate in the Prime toy line, and I would buy it. You know, I mean, it would give this character, however short-lived he was in this episode, you know, a toy representation out of a simple repaint.
Well, especially with the small cast, just like in Beast Wars, once the toy line gets really up and going, they're going to need
filler.
You know, multiple toys to fill the toy line. And, you know, there's just not enough characters to carry an entire toy line. So they're going to do a lot of, like, non-show characters. And I think this is the perfect thing to do is, well, if you're going to have some filler anyway, make filler of background characters.
Mm-hmm.
That way, you know, even if they were only there for a minute, at least they were there. You know, so the toy has some significance other than just the fiction on the back of the card.
Otto Rupert.
What I think is awesome about Prime, when we first saw like Bumblebee and Prime's images and Megatron's, you know, we kind of got that Bayformers, you know, look to them, because obviously the designs were inspired by the movies. Yeah, but that was kind of the term people give to the style of Transformers we see in the movies, which is a very different aesthetic than what we like with the classics.
Mm-hmm.
But the more they reveal more robots in this show, it's kind of even changing the way I see Prime and Bumblebee. Yeah, they're inspired by the movie designs, but the aesthetic really is different. Because a lot of these characters are showing up, going back to Wheeljack and then mm-hmm. you know, Cliffjumper. I mean, they look like in toy form they would fit in with the Classics collection. You know, I mean, the aesthetic is very similar. So, yeah, I can totally see this line, especially if they, you know, start giving us more stuff like Wheeljack and Tailgate. I can see using, you know, either repaints of Classics toys or all new Classics toys and just drop them in the Prime line because they'll fit right in.
Yeah, totally. Well, is there anything?
So, do you think, I was going to say one last thing with Arachnid. Do you think she'll be a helicopter? Or have you studied her?
I haven't studied her that much. I kind of want to be surprised. You know, I don't want to ruin it with speculation. And that's exactly what I thought. You know, whenever I saw it or I see it finally. You know, it's important note that Arachnid is voiced by Gina Torres. Many of you Firefly fans may remember her from the series, and she is also the wife of Lawrence Fishburne of the Matrix. As a matter of fact, actually, I think she was a background character in the Matrix as well. You know, just a little side note about the voice actress that did Arachnid. Well, without further ado, I believe that will wrap up this episode of Geek Existence Transformers. We hope you've enjoyed it. I know this has been one of my favorites here as of late. A lot of great stuff to talk about. I mean, the toys like Megagun and Windcharger. I mean, the fact that, I'm getting a Windcharger and I'm not going to be paying $70-$80 bucks plus a stepper. Whenever I first saw that picture, I mean, my jaw just dropped how pretty it is.
I was actually on the phone with you when the first time you looked at it, and I heard your reaction. And
yeah.
It was quite hilarious.
Yes, I was very impressed with that toy. So I'm really looking forward to that. Plus the good news that Generation Wave 8 has been spotted. In Ames, Iowa, of all places,
right in the middle of the country.
Yeah,
usually on one of the coasts.
It's kind of like whenever Armada came out, not a lot of people realize it, but I was one of the first ones to on the message boards, at the time to announce that I had spotted and found and purchased Armada toys at a local Walmart. And I was actually, if I'm not mistaken, I got front paged on a couple websites for my first reveal of some of the Armada toys. I picked up some Minicons, I believe. And I think I got Hot Shot that day too.
And at the time, we thought that was so great.
Yeah. Now, not so much.
we were just happy to see Autobots back instead of Maximals, and that weren't shell formers like the Carr Brothers. We've got so much better stuff.
Well,
the good podcasts are going to continue because we're going to have, like I said, Prime. I love doing the Prime discussions because I'm really enjoying the show. We got more new episodes coming each week, so we're going to have that to talk about. Plus, as you said, Dark of the Moon toys are about to start hitting. Ouch, my wallets may or may not pick up, depending on what we think of the toys, but at least we'll have plenty to talk about.
Oh, most definitely. Well, we'll see you next week, and check us out. We've got a new podcast, before I forget. We got a new podcast for you Apple fanboys out there like me. We've got a new podcast out called Geek Apple. We recorded our first episode. It was a little bit rough, and we do it a little bit differently than we do this podcast and our other podcast, Geek Existence Science and Tech. We record that one raw, as it were. We record, edit, and then encode on the fly. Basically, I record both ends of the conversation on between me and Batosai. I record both of them at the same time. We pause. I'll throw in the edits and the music and whatever all at the same time as we're going. And then whenever we're done, we're done. That's all we need to do is encode it and upload it. So, you know, the episode, the first episode had some hits and misses in it. But I think the format will work. It'll be a much shorter podcast. It's anywhere between 15 and 30 minutes long. And due to the format and the way of recording, 30 minutes is the max that we can record it at. We found that out tonight trying to record. Hopefully you can check it out, especially if you love Apple and Apple products. We'll be discussing that weekly at least. We're going to try to shoot for... more often than that, depending on subject matter. And I believe that'll do it. So, without further ado, we'll end the podcast here, and y'all have a nice week.
See you next week.
This has been Geek Existence Transformers, a geekexistence.com presentation. Check out our other podcasts, Geek Existence Gaming for the gaming geek in you, and Geek Existence Science and Tech for your sci-fi, science, and tech interests. Both are available on iTunes as well as our website. You can interact with us by visiting our forums on our website at geekexistence.com/forums, or by following us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekexistence. Search for us on Facebook and send us a friend request. We'd also love to hear from you via email. Our address is geekexistence@gmail.com. Your hosts for this episode were Weird Wolf 1975 and Insane Galvatron. No hamsters or squirrels were harmed in the making of this podcast.